In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I'm someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm saying! So
help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy Thursday, Queen. How's it going?
Oh, you know, it's a beautiful day here in New York. So
it is a really beautiful day. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. I'm considering going to vote.
Ooh.
But I also, as we've already discussed, might just wait until my polling place that's across the street from my house.
We shouldn't spend too much time on New York's weather because people don't like when people would prefer we talk about the weather and the specific regional aspects to every area of the country, I've learned.
Okay. Well,
so I hope the weather is good in Wyoming. I hope it's good in Texas.
Yeah, I hope
it's good in
everywhere.
Chicago. Yes, I hope it's good everywhere. We have a really quick show for you today. We were going to give you a preview of some huge SCOTUS cases coming. I was like, I'm going to get ahead of the game and schedule a great interview with a great person for Thursday. And then they dropped these decisions. So In the interest of being as prepared as possible, we're going to move that to next week. We're going to have Imani Gandhi. I asked our audience who they wanted, who their favorite SCOTUS watchers were, and it was her by a mile. And I agreed. And I was like, I don't think we can get her, but we did. So she'll be with us next week.
Mm-hmm. She wanted to read the decisions before talking about them.
Yeah, she wanted to prepare for a political podcast, I guess. I mean, this happened an hour ago, and we're gonna go into it. We're also going to run through these decisions, and then we're going to check in on our old friend, Joe Manchin, who has some new words for us, not just raging about his past statements, but he's got some new statements to rage about. But I just wanted to start with you with a story I heard on What a Day this morning. Story close to our hearts. Did you hear that yesterday a garbage bag full of weed fell from a roof in New York City near Sunset
my
Park?
Bad.
Oops. Oh, you heard about that?
Some weed delivery person is in big trouble.
Dude, big trouble. So apparently this happened during like a drug deal got wrong. A customer
definitely.
It was on purpose. It was on purpose. They were just like, I love New York. It was Caitlin. I love New York so much. I'm just going to drop this weed since we all have to watch the mayor debate later. Let's all get stoned. But nobody was hurt. Fortunately, I think a customer pulled a weapon on the drug professional and things were dangerous for a while. But the best part of this story is that people did just pick some up and walk away, which is why we love to live here. I was going to ask, you would have done the same.
Oh, of course. Oh, my God. Absolutely. I would have been elbowing people out of the way. I turned vicious.
I would have let you smoke it first.
A weed pinata, basically. No, because you got to grab it and then inspect it. And if it's swag, then it's swag. But like,
that's a good strategy.
But you gotta be ready to scoop.
Yeah,
scoop
grab
that
first,
up.
Verify. What is the phrase? Like, so, act then verify or something?
Trust but verify.
Exactly.
Ronald Reagan.
Verify.
Trust
oh, good.
But verify.
I think it's fitting that I think it's good karma that we're quoting Ronald Reagan with regard to weed just raining from the sky.
Absolutely. His nightmare the future liberals want.
Yeah, exactly. This is the future liberals want. So, all right. On that note, SCOTUS is turning in its final assignments for summer. This shit is crazy, Elise. I think when this term started, RBG was still alive.
That's
She died like very recently. So two huge decisions that we were looking for. In a 7-2 decision, the nation's highest court dismissed yet another challenge to the Affordable Care Act, determining that Republican-led states leading the suit had no standing or legal right to bring the case. So I feel like we've been hearing this word severability for like a year and a half, like since Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh was like, I love beer. And I think the law is severable. Like, that's what I remember. So I was totally expecting to hear, when I saw this case went in a positive way, that the justices had decided that the individual mandate was severable from Obamacare. So parts of the massive healthcare law have since basically been invalidated, and Republicans would love that to mean that the entire law that insures 21 million people, that we shouldn't have it anymore. But as long as the justices have heard challenges to this, obviously the Roberts Court has saved this before, I think multiple times. And during oral arguments, we were hearing things from the justices suggesting like, there's absolutely no reason to think that this can't stand alone. But it turns out they decided you actually have no right to even ask us that question.
Wow.
Wow. Brett Kavanaugh was like, I just want to get to my weekend on the boat.
Yeah, I feel like that is like, it is, you know, maybe the weather's nice in DC and he's just like, I don't feel like doing this.
Yeah, we're going on Manchin's boat tonight. I got to get out of here. But Elise, I know that you're like a self-employed person. So I'm sure you know people that have personally benefited a lot from Obamacare. Like, what do you think it would have been like had this gone away?
I mean, it would have been horrible, but I mean, I remember benefiting from Obamacare even like when I was in college because my birth control became free. And I remember it was like $90 a month and it was really expensive. And then it wasn't $90 a month anymore.
That is always still a delight, isn't it? Like, I still find it to be such a delight every time I pick it up and I walk away without taking my credit card out.
Yeah. Well, I remember when the Republicans were going to repeal it, the big fear is just like, the pre-existing conditions parts of it and all of that. The healthcare market for self-employed people is still pretty bleak. I would definitely love it if
that's a good point. They didn't save healthcare. It's not like woo, pristine healthcare system kept intact.
I would definitely love it if like we maybe had like Medicare for All or or Joe did the like tweets to Obamacare that he said he was going to do or whatever, because it is still a pretty bleak situation out there for the self-employed. But it's, I mean, the protections that are in place, it's like catastrophic damage to your life if those protections go away. Like it's scary to think, because my dad's on my mom's insurance. He has a pre-existing condition, like.
Right. I know. I feel like we've gotten to the point where we just benefit from this law so profoundly that it is hard to imagine it going away. And I am hoping that Republicans finally realize that. I mean, this sort of feels like a death blow to their attempts to keep doing this. Like, there's really no, I mean, is there like a vocal part of the Republican Party that just hates Obamacare still? Like, they've moved on to critical race theory and trans kids.
Yeah. I do feel like the tide is shifting and they might be giving up on trying to repeal Obamacare now that there's like one full president between us and the black guy. And they're not as like, mad. I mean, they're still furious about it, like absolutely raging furious, ruining the country because of it. But like, but I think maybe because of the small amount of distance, it's not like their top priority anymore.
Their
top priority now is harassing children. Making sure you don't learn about slaves, like, you know.
Yeah. And as we've said, like, it's so hard to take something away from people, especially something that like Republicans themselves benefit from. And there was just something especially sweet about how Trump obviously got to appoint three justices and two of those voted that no, Republicans have no right to really bring this. And like John Roberts has sort of said this, or I don't think he said this, but gestured this in the past where he's like, Republicans have to figure this out the old fashioned way, like do it through the legislative process, stop bringing the court into it. So I am hopeful that this could be the end of that. On a darker note, and I was surprised by this, which I think means I didn't know enough about the specifics of the case, but the Supreme Court also unanimously sided with a Catholic foster care agency fighting for its right to deny same-sex couples from taking in needy children.
The harassment of children, really, exactly. Under the guise of protecting them, traumatizing children so that, like, for political points. It's really sad. Right.
I mean, the way this case to me it settles basically is that like it's better this Catholic agency believes that it's better that needy children are not with safe families than being with a same-sex family.
Which is crazy. And it's also really sad because same-sex couples are way more likely to adopt like older children. They're way more likely to adopt like kids that don't look exactly like them because they don't have that kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, I want to pretend they're my, but like everyone know, you know, the jig is up type of a deal. So it's actually like not allowing same-sex couples to adopt really affects the most vulnerable of the adoptees. Like, because same-sex couples tend to, you know,
yeah,
actually be more, they're like, yeah, you know what? I will adopt a 6-year-old
mm-hmm.
or a 2-year-old even, because people really want to adopt babies for the
yeah.
Part.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's such a good point. And the city of Philadelphia, obviously that's like an urban area with a lot of needy families probably. So what happened was the city of Philadelphia had banned the agency from screening potential applicants. They were like, if you're going to discriminate, because I believe the city has its own sort of laws that say you can't discriminate. So they said, you know, we have lots of agencies we can work with that will screen foster parents. So we don't need to work with one that's being homophobic. This Catholic group said, no, we are desperate to be homophobes and to reject gay
you
people.
Have to work with us.
Right.
We're going to be homophobic and you have to work with us.
And a gay person. I mean, this is the Catholic foster agency sort of their lawyer's argument is that, well, no same-sex couples have gone to them. There are 30 other agencies in this area. But to me, that like that makes the city's point as well. So Philadelphia is like, we have no obligation to work with this group that betrays our values and even laws that we have. And so Supreme Court said, actually, you do. You can't not work with them, which is sort of, I guess, consistent with, unfortunately, the court does usually side with religious liberty on this sorts of thing. Unlike Obamacare, I have to learn. I'm really curious about that. And I'm looking forward to having Imani Gandhi here next week to explain like if that was expected or I don't know. I got it. And there were several different opinions that they wrote, but I don't know. I would have loved to read an RBG dissent on this one.
I know, but I wonder if she even would have because
right. It
seems like, yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Interesting. Though it does seem like the court really tends to do that. Like if you think about it with like cakes and
exactly.
Whatnot.
Exactly. And I think the way that I phrase this is that, you know, the court's going to let the agency discriminate, which is the practical impact. But all of these cases are so like, they just have little tweaks that make them different. Like specifically it was whether Philadelphia could ban this one. And I guess the answer is no.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to hearing more about the impacts of this, because to me, it just seems like setting a precedent that a city can allow its people it hires to deny services to gay people. It seems like, where does that end? Like, what if a gay family has like, I don't know, a raccoon in its house and you call the city contractor and they're like, well, we don't help with gay raccoons. And like,
exactly.
I don't know. Like we can't come, the animal control can't help the gay people.
Wait,
so.
Can I actually say something about this? Because when I went to school at the University of Delaware, we had a squirrel that was trapped in our chimney and we called animal control and they didn't help us. And she said that she couldn't help us because we might sue her if we mess up the insulation. I was like, I don't own this property. Like, this is my college house.
And that's then, actually real. That's why you always have to call the police when you have like an animal.
So yeah, she just left and we ended up having to use a lacrosse stick to get it out. And then we kind of wrapped it in a Snuggie and put it outside.
Oh, and so it survived to your knowledge?
It survived. It was angry.
Yeah.
It was angry.
Yeah. Josie.
It was a very chaotic scene. What I'm giving the short version, but it was very hard to get the squirrel out of the chimney on our own because we are not animal control. And that's just what I had to come in and say.
Well, I mean, I think that we should investigate this further because I am curious about what role animal control does play. I mean, based on Parks and Rec, they're pretty useless. And there's like this academic Josie Duffy Rice who gives this anecdote when she's talking about police reform, where she had a hawk in her house and she called animal control and she wanted, and they were like, well, we can't deal with this. And she was just trying to involve anybody but law enforcement in getting this bird of prey out of her house. And it was not possible. It was like, no wonder the cops show up everywhere, because it seems like how we can, maybe it's not police reform, it's animal control reform.
I mean, listen, we had a squirrel in our chimney and she said, no, I can't help you. And then she was like, call a chimney sweep. And I was like, what?
And is that real?
And so I called them and they were like, we absolutely cannot get an animal out of your chimney.
Oh God, this sounds like such a difficult day for college, Elise.
It was. It was.
That's some real adulting.
A big day.
So for our next topic today, Joe Manchin, I guess, has heard us talking some shit and has come to the table with some ideas.
Finally.
Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia has circulated a list of demands, a literal list of demands. He is literally holding voting rights. He's holding democracy hostage. Circulated a list of demands for voting legislation among his Democratic colleagues, indicating that he might be willing to consider a revised version of H.R. 1. That is the sweeping voting and election reform bill that the Senate will take up at the end of the month. The fact remains that it's unlikely we would even find 10 Republicans who would accept whatever his plan is, which I'll get into. And Manchin has said he will not end the filibuster, right? He's not saying, if this bill gets better, I'll end it. He has said, no, I believe the filibuster has to exist. So I don't really know what he's offering us here.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I'm like, okay, so he says he might support it, but he's also not really supporting it because he's not going to end the filibuster or change the filibuster in any way to pass it. So
sounds like he just wants credit.
One of his little games.
Yeah,
one of
definitely.
Joe's little games.
Okay, so let's talk about what this list of demands says. Manchin says that he is fine with banning partisan gerrymandering. Good. And he's fine with mandating at least 15 consecutive days of early voting for federal elections. He also says he's open to ethics and campaign finance reform. Great. But what he is in favor of is a lot of the onerous ID requirements that disproportionately impact marginalized communities. And he doesn't support no excuse mail-in voting. When I read this, I just thought right back to our interview with Mondaire Jones last week, when he was like, it's easy for Joe Manchin to say, I don't think we should have voting reform until it's bipartisan, and to throw these things out here because he doesn't have issues with his ID. He doesn't have issues with no excuse mail-in voting.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I think the optics of having this like old white man who's like the person who gets to tell us how much we vote and like how much voting we get and how much democracy he's gonna let pass. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's something so symbolic about what this like fucking one guy is doing.
I know. I think it was Caitlin that said last week, he's like Sally and When Harry Met Sally when she orders the apple pie. It's like none of these adjustments actually makes sense to me. I don't really see any reason why 15 days of early voting is different than no excuse mail-in voting. Like, it seems like he's just falling into the traps that Republicans have laid, which is that things like not requiring IDs and no excuse mail-in voting seem the most susceptible to fraud. However, there is simply no evidence of that fraud.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it again just feels like the thing we're always dealing with Manchin is that he's just suggesting things to have suggestions. Like, he just wants, so he's like, it's honestly sad how transparent he is. It's like, I'm going to circulate a letter that says I like three Democratic things and three Republican things. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's going to have to agree. It's like, all this man cares about is this bipartisanship, whatever centrist game that he's playing. And it's because none of this legislation affects him or like that he would care about. At one point he said that's just not something that we're thinking about in West Virginia. And I'm like, okay, right. But you are a U.S. Senator and you actually do need to think about.
Bullshit. Like, Your state needs this infrastructure. Republicans are not going to pass an infrastructure bill as big as we need it. There was also reporting yesterday that he's basically on the phone with donors. He skipped a meeting with Texas Democrats to instead get on the phone with like billionaire donors, some of whom are donating to stop this effort. And he's sounding like he's sounding like a fucking Republican because he's starting to sound desperate. He's like, you guys got to make me look better. You guys got to do something because.
Yeah.
And but he's also furious at the Republicans for not coming over with him on 1-6. So, yeah, this does seem like. It says it was circulated for Democrats, but I'd also like to see this framed as like maybe okay for Republicans too. Like the Republicans, he yielded. Like I personally would not want my Democratic senators to yield on ID requirements or no excuse mail-in voting. But look, he brought something to the table. I don't want to hear just about how Democrats have to negotiate with it. I want to hear that Republicans have to negotiate because he gets this credit, but we're never going to get 10 senators.
We're not always negotiating with ourselves against an imaginary Republican opponent that isn't even at the table. They're not even playing. They're not one of them is going to vote for this. They not one.
Unless so Kamala got Murkowski drunk enough on Rose. I would die. I would give anything maybe to know what they talked about.
Oh, my God. I mean, yes. But also, I don't trust either of those ladies. They're all I'm not doing that again. Fool me once. Shame on you. Like, come on. None of them are going to vote for this. Joe Manchin is playing a game, and unless he's going to get rid of the filibuster, it's all gobbledygook anyway.
Right, exactly. And yeah, everything that he lists, he keeps insisting that he is not rejecting this just because it's not bipartisan, but I'm going to read the quote in which he explains why he is. You should not pass any type of voter bill in the most divisive time of our life unless you have some unity on this thing, because you just divide the country further. I would love some clarity on how that's not the same thing as because it's not bipartisan.
And also, Joe Manchin has been the only Democrat to vote with Republicans multiple times. Mm-hmm. But that's not bipartisan. They're not being bipartisan. If like he'll vote for completely partisan bills of theirs that true. But not
and the voter people. the legislation that we're fighting is not bipartisan. Not one Democrat passed. So he's conceding that he is fine with us moving forward in this country, living under laws that only one party in these states passed because he won't change them in the chamber where he is with only one party.
Absolutely.
Terrific.
Great.
Great. I asked our audience if we should make Joe Manchin or Mitch McConnell stress balls, and they said we should make a set, one of each. So we're looking into
that. Oh, that's smart. That's smart.
Yes. That is our show today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.